declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Cephas and Gaius. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God this morning, God, that through it we could draw closer to you, have a better understanding of your will for each and every one of us. We're saved by the foolishness of preaching to them. Foolishness to us, it is power. Bless as only you can in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my message this morning is, Who Are You Voting For? Now, we could have a lot of contention in here. You know, every day we hear some more information about people who want our votes. We just had an all-star game, and the people who were playing in the all-star were voted on. We vote for athletic teams. We vote for a whole lot of things in life. But can you imagine there was strife in the first church about who to follow? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 and 4, For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Are you not in the flesh by saying I follow one and you follow somebody else? Is there not just one gospel? Is there not just one God? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? He said, no. Paul said, I thank God that I baptized none of you. Is Christ divided? First, the enemy of our soul wants to divide our God into a trio. He wants to divide our God so we're powerless. And then he wants to divide the body of Christ or the church, because if we're divided, we have no strength. See, the power and the anointing of God comes with the unity of the church. Just 100 days to the presidential election. I wish it was over. And our nation is divided. Also, the plan of the enemy. Can you imagine this entire nation is divided, almost 50-50, and how in the world can we be of power if we are divided about so many issues, you see? Everyone has to decide who is right and who is telling the truth, and I get mail every day to pursue my vote, and I get telephone calls from parties and asking for money and asking for my vote. Can you imagine if the church would put forth the kind of effort that all of these volunteers put forth on telephones and mailings, trying to get somebody to vote for them, that they would say, no, would you vote for Jesus Christ? He is absolutely the best candidate. He will change your life. He will put a car in your garage. He will fix your problems. He will heal your body. And that's not just rhetoric. It's the truth, folks. There is nobody like my Jesus. Millions of dollars spent to promote someone who can't fix our problems. Whether you know it or not, you vote every day for someone who can fix your problems. Every day you make a choice. Every day you make a vote. Every day you're subscribing to one or another. There's a feud going on in this world between evil and good. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Genesis, the 18th chapter? And I wish somebody would say amen. Oh, I feel better. Genesis 18. And verse number 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for why is it going to be a great nation? For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the ways of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Do you know, if we're going to be great, we have to be like Abraham. We have to command this generation to do what's right, to do justice, to do judgment, to do commandments of God. And then James, the first chapter. James chapter 1 and verse number 1. It says, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, and you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. In other words, if you're constantly vacillating, if you're constantly changing your mind, well, it was important, but now it's not important, and you haven't made up your mind yet. There are, I guess, millions of people who have not made up their mind as far as this election is concerned. God is saying, if you haven't made up your mind that you're really going to live for me, it says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Somebody who just can't make up their mind, should I or shouldn't I? And this whole nation can be in that place where we aren't making up your mind, but God, help us, church. We can't be on a rail someplace. We have to make our election sure. Amen. 2 Peter 1, please. Second Peter 1, starting in verse number 10, it says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. In other words, make up your mind and keep your mind. Don't change your mind. Be stable. Don't vacillate. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and established in the present truth. So, in other words, I'm just going to keep telling you. I'm just going to keep reminding you. I'm just going to keep preaching it the same as I started in the very beginning. Some of you get tired of hearing the same things from this pulpit, but I'll tell you what, it's safety to you. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle or body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's a good pastor. Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have those things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We didn't get this through studying, through opinion, through other things, other people's thoughts. We got it from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the thing that saved us. That's the thing that will keep us saved. It says, double-minded, believing one thing one day and another thing the next day. Who are you voting for? My name is Pastor Schumacher, and I have approved the following message. I'm running for heaven on a platform of righteousness. I can promise you I've made my election sure. I will never change my platform. There are no special interest groups that will change my mind. I won't promise you a free lunch. I won't promise you free tuition. I won't promise you anything except God will be with you. He's the one who can promise. A man cannot promise. I'm not a liberal. I'm not a moderate. I am a Bible conservative who will stand for righteousness, but I am looking for voters from all walks of life and across the aisle. I will not try to blend in to become all things to all people. What do you like? I'll take care of it. I am not looking for the liberal vote, not the moderate vote. In fact, I'm not even looking for the conservative vote. I am just looking for one vote. I'm looking for the vote of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would vote for me, that he would stand in my corner, that he would love me, you see. There is a time when everyone must show their true colors. And every 4 years we go through this. You know, there's separation of church and state. That means that the state can't interfere with the church. It's not that the church can't interfere with government, because government was established in the Bible, you see. So it's not a bad thing to become involved with government, because we're going to be affected by government. There comes a time when each of us have to take a stand from something or fall for everything. If you'll turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 11, God gives us some government here. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there has to be preaching of the Word of God, the undiluted Word of God, till we all come into the unity of faith. Why? Because that's where the power is. Remember, the enemy wants to divide us on little issues. He wants to take our power and anointing away from us, because a divided body can't stand. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual work in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know what cancer is? Cancer is something that is in the body that shouldn't be in the body. It's foreign cells that if it isn't removed, then it can kill the body. It has to be the entire body working together in order to be that which God wants. Amen. Not carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight or the fraud of men. I can be a liberal when I'm with liberals. I can be a conservative when I'm with conservatives, a saint at church, and a sinner at work. You can't get to the place where we change colors based on where we are and who we blend in with. And sometimes it becomes a little difficult to be in that situation. But bless God, he's looking for a witness. He's looking for somebody who will stand out. He's looking for someone who will take a stand. There are a lot of people within the pages of this book who took a stand and they weren't received very well, including Jesus Christ. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 5. It says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." In other words, when you're doing service, whether it's an employer or somebody who is over you, when you're doing it, you're doing the will of God. With good will doing, service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye, masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Verse number 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Listen, most of our battles are not with flesh and blood. We're battling spirits. We're battling concepts. We're battling ideas and opinions of other people. And you know, we're always going to be in opposition. The only people who are open season, it's not the Muslims, it's not different persuasions of sexuality, it's the Christians. Everybody else is accepted, but we, as a body of believers, there's always going to be a pushback on us. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." And it goes on to all of the things that we need to put on in order to stand in this evil day. Stand for truth today, but stand for truth tomorrow when somebody challenges you. The best known people in the history are those who stood for something and never vacillated in their opinion or their actions, and they are in the history books. They are the ones that we look to in order to get advice today. Regardless of circumstances, they could justify change, but they didn't. Truth is truth, and no one will know that until someone stands for it, you see. Nobody would know, you know, what you're standing for until you're really challenged. And that's why the church is hated. We stand in the way of those who would distort the truth to something else, to water it down. But there are going to be people in the end time who will stand for truth. They will not water down. They will not vacillate. I was at the bank the other day cashing a check, and as I was looking at all of the different denominations that I had in my hand, a $1 bill, a $5 bill, a $10 bill, a $20 bill, and I think I had a $50 bill, I commented to the teller, "You know, none of these presents on these bills, these presidents, were really very good looking. I don't know if I'd vote for them based on the way they looked, you know. But I love them for the truth that they stood for, and because of that, we have their picture on our money. Also, we have 'In God We Trust' right about their heads." There are a whole lot of atheists that don't like that. There's a whole lot of people who are irritated, but they still want the money, you see. They stood for what was right, and that is why their picture is on the money, and why our money says, "In God we trust." And I believe there's more money in people's pockets because they trust in God. President Lincoln was once called two-faced, and his reply was, you know, if I was two-faced, you think I'd use this one? He was known as Honest Abe, and we won't be remembered because of the way we look, but what we stood for. If the Lord tarries, and I'm no longer here, I hope you remember me, not for why I look, but what I stood for. You parents, listen, there's a possibility that you may die one day before the Lord comes, but your children, thank God, your children will remember you not because of what you look like, but what you stood for. Mom would never have done that. Dad would never have done that. Hallelujah. Amen. James 1 and 8 said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Make up your mind. You're going to live for God or aren't you going to live for God? You can't put one foot in the world and one foot in the church because you'll be miserable in the world and you'll be miserable in the church. Come on, make up your mind. Choose you this day who you will serve. But as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. The word double and minded in the same scripture in the Greek means two-spirited, vacillating in opinion. I used to believe that, but I don't anymore. Yesterday, I felt it was biblical, but today I don't. Not consistent in walking with God. Every year, it's a little different, you know? Brother Gilgenbach said some things about 9 out of 10, if they've gone through Bible quizzing, if they leave, they'll come back. About 3 weeks ago, I had a lady come up to me and said, do you remember who I am? I said, no. She said, when I was 11 years old, there used to be a family that used to bring me here, and I used to come to Sunday school, and then they left, and so I didn't get a ride, so I haven't been back. And God woke me up this morning and said, you need to go back to church. And she thought to herself, well, there's only one church I ever was in, and I came, and I've got two daughters now, and they just loved it. You see, there's something that is put deep down inside of us that says there's only one God, there's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Hallelujah. Oh, I used to believe that, but I don't have any convictions anymore. Really? Why? Because other people don't seem to think it's important. But what about God? Has he changed his vote? Is he still voting for me? Every day? Is he checking a box? Yeah, that pastor, I like him. Amen. If we become two-spirited, one way in the church and another way when we're not in church, then the Bible tells us that we will be unstable in all our ways. Oh, God, I want you to bless. Well, but you see, you're double-minded. I can't answer your prayers. You're double-minded. You say one thing and then you do another thing. You see, and God's saying, I can't deal with that. I can't help that. The Bible tells us that we will be unstable in all our ways, unstable in our family, unstable in our finances, unstable with our walk with God, in fact, unstable in everything. And you know what we desperately need? We want something that's stable. We want something that's sure. We want to know that when we get up tomorrow, I'm going to feel good, that I'm going to have a job, that the house payment will be taken care of, that all of these things. We want that. And God's saying, yeah, I can stabilize your life, but you better make a decision. You better vote for me every day. Hallelujah. I'm afraid that some people will be up one day and down the next, never satisfied with any position or state of mind, frustrated because there is no fulfillment in their relationship with God because they haven't made the complete commitment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, what does it say? It's saying if you don't put God first, if you're not putting God's righteousness first, you're not going to have all of these things taken care of. no fulfillment in the secular aspect of your life or in the church. But if we always vote for Jesus Christ and his platform of righteousness, then we get what God has promised in his campaign. You know, he was on a 3.5-year campaign. He was hitting all of the stops. He had all kinds of people gather around him. And then he put forth his platform for 3.5 years. He was asking, would you vote for me? And then he gives us life and life more abundantly. I hate to go through a campaign every 4 years. I think it ought to be every day. Every day. God's saying, here's my platform. Read this. I'm going to tweet this to you. I'm going to text this to you. Here's another idea that I have. Here's my ideas on finance. Here's my ideas on protection. Here's my idea on the economy. Here's my idea on health care. Amen. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think based on what is in us, the Spirit of God. Glory to God. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all... I just love this. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God can do that. Well, you see, I got to take matters in my own hands. I need to work 6 jobs in order to take care of the things that I really want. No, no. I'm telling you, if you vote for Jesus on Sundays and on Wednesdays and on Saturday mornings, if you vote for him, he can do a whole lot more than you can ask, more than you can think. My God can give you. Nothing is impossible. Well, anyone can campaign on lower taxes. You know, you're going to have more money in your pocket, but I've got a God who can put a coin in a fish's mouth so you can pay your taxes. Glory to God. Taxes will never go down, but the blessings of God can always go up. Hallelujah. Do you believe this stuff? Man will never be able to deliver on his promises, but God always delivers on his promises. Every day is an election. You elected to come here this morning. Later on today, you'll make another election to come here tonight. And then you'll get to Wednesday and you'll have to make another election. Oh, I like my boss better than I like God. Oh, I like that soccer better than I like God. We're always making, am I hurting anybody's feelings? I hope I don't. Well, maybe a little. You've all heard the issues. You've all heard the campaign. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but so much more. As you see the day approaching, it's time for you to vote. It's time for each of us to make a decision. We're just getting so close to the end, folks. You can't scare people into church, but the reality is, look up, look at the signs. Look what's happening in this world. My God, I never thought that I have to have a third bathroom, you know, in order to accommodate If we ignore the platform that God has established, we are electing a wrong system to govern our lives. And that's why it is so important for us to establish the right platform of righteousness. Is there a candidate that's perfect? No. But not to vote is very ignorant. Because what you need to do is you need to vote for that which is closest to what the Word of God says So we're not under tyranny. So we're not under somebody. Folks, this is not a political statement, but I'm telling you, in the next few years, we're going to establish probably 3 or 4 Supreme Justices who can affect the United States for the next 30, 40 years. And what could that do to your life? Someone who declares, well, the Constitution isn't really what it's supposed to be. And now I tell you what, we ought to tax the churches and we ought to limit their power and we ought to... Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the enemy would say, don't say stuff like that from the pulpit. Why not? Why not? This world is campaigning every day for your vote and your soul, every day. And God needs to have a voice. God needs to have a platform. God needs to tell you, you got to do what's right. Hallelujah. Would you turn to 1 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter? First Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, and verse number 1, it says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of man sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishing her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. You were witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. You know, no hidden agendas, no lining my pockets, no trying to please certain groups of people because of what we could get, but he just wanted to give them the gospel like a father would to his children. Someone was campaigning at Galatia with another platform. Take a look at Galatians, the 1st chapter. Verse number 6, so much of this is weaved within this entire book, because there are those that are out there who want to persuade you to vote for them instead of voting for Christ. So much. In the end time, it's going to get even worse. But in verse number 6 of that 1st chapter, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What's the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How are we saved? We have our own death through repentance, our own burial through baptism in Jesus' name, and our own resurrecting power through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Well, you're not going to get many people to stay in your church, Paul. Curse them. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. When you run for an office, you have to examine yourself because somebody else is going to examine you. Well, like somebody said, I think it was Brother Woodward, well, don't look at me, you know, look at Christ. No. Look at, follow me as I follow Christ. So we're the candidate. We're asking somebody else, would you come? Would you follow? And then we're going to be under scrutiny. We're going to be under examination. Are you the real deal? Or you just say that, and then later I see you doing something you shouldn't do. They'll see us as the real candidate, somebody that they can vote for, somebody that they can follow to the full power of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. I'm coming to an end in another 40, 50 minutes. 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 5. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates or void of judgment. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore, I write these things being present, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. It's all about information, folks. It's not to hurt people. It's to give them enough power through the edification and the understanding of the Word of God that you can live for God, not to hurt people's feelings. Finally, brethren, farewell. What's the last things? Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. That's what I want. I want the God of peace to be with me. We have to be of one mind. Glory to God. Stuff like this can divide us, and that's what the enemy would want. A division, a breaking of a threefold cord. The election is just around the corner. And I want to say this, everybody needs to vote for the candidate that's closest to Christian values. Because if you don't, you're voting for the other side. Amen. And I'm not ashamed to say that. Somebody ought to say it. Soon, someone else will be in charge of our entire country. And that will make a difference in your entire life. But your election is today. Today. You don't have to wait. Vote today. for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then tomorrow, there's another election. You'll be voting for him again tomorrow. And the day after, there'll be another election, and you need to vote for the Lord Jesus Christ again tomorrow. Hallelujah. Well, it's not going to be convenient. That's right. Well, what kind of life do you want to have? See, if you vote right, it'll change your life, and then Jesus will be in charge of it. Pastor, when do you think that the rapture will happen? You know, that's easy. That's easy. It's so clear in the scripture. When you think not, he could come before tonight, folks. Have you made your election? Today is a day of salvation. If you hear this morning and you haven't made your election sure, you haven't made a decision, if you're still on the fence, King Agrippa said, you know, boy, you almost persuaded me. But he was never persuaded. Felix, almost, but never. I'm glad that day that I stood with tears streaming down my face saying, you know, God, you know, I need to go off to a few more campaigns, but I think I could vote for you. And then you set the rules. You set the rules for my life. Hallelujah. When we think not. When we think not. He's coming, folks. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? The first person I ever baptized in our new baptism, carpet wasn't down yet, water wasn't heated, but they said, you know, it was at our Labor Day picnic, I think 3 years ago. She said, I need to be baptized right now. And I said, well, it's, you know, if could you wait? I think in about a week, the water will be warmer. You know, and you're going to have to walk through some dust and some dirt. We'll have to be careful to walk. I want to be baptized now. And so I baptized her in Jesus' name. I think 30, 35 years old. She died about 3 months ago. See, it's not just about the rapture, folks. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. This thing is imminent. I've had people come up to the altar and get so close. I've taught people Bible studies that sat in my Bible study. One man who sat in my Bible study for 5 weeks, he just took a break 1 week, went out on Lake Michigan, jumped in the water, never came up. Never came back to the Bible study. You see, life is fragile. The Bible says that it's like a vapor that appears and then it disappears. And we don't have any guarantees. That's why it's so important to make your decision now. Now. Right now. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?